Dear friends, let's turn in our Bibles once again to Psalm 119, verse 169. Psalm 119, verse 169. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. And thank God that this is the final of our series of studies of Psalm 119. This is the 22nd lesson we are learning about this great psalm, which is mostly concerned with the Word of God and how the Christian experiences it in various aspects of life. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Our subject this evening is prayer items for spiritual revival, and we will be looking at 8 different items which the psalmist speaks about here in the condition of a downcast state. There are verses, especially 175 and 176, which give us the clue about what kind of condition was the psalmist in. So I'll read those verses. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. You could read it as, revive my soul, or my soul shall be revived. For the meaning of the word live in the original is revive. Quicken, and it shall praise thee, the psalmist says, and let thy judgments help me. So one condition in which he is he is downcast. Another condition we find in 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep, which means he has exercised unbelief or doubt or despair in the face of all the promises of God. So that is described, the description here is, he's gone astray like a lost sheep, and so he pleads, seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandment. So these two conditions reflect a state of being downcast. When the Christian astray or is in a state of unbelief, and he is now looking for a way by which he can be restored and revived back into the ways of God. He can never lose his salvation, we know and are sure of that, because of the numerous promises given. But one can find himself in a state such as this, and therefore the psalmist's experience is helpful to us as we come to learn about this subject of prayer items for spiritual revival. And I hope when we have learned this, and we as individuals come to a state where we experience something similar, we can look at such items we find here to pray, and we trust that God will hear us in this. So it's a lesson about prayer, it's a lesson about spiritual revival. I said before that this is the 22nd version and the last, and therefore permit me to recount, as we are finishing, the different subjects we have learned over the last 1¾ years. In verses 1 to 8, the subject was the blessedness and duties of God's people. Verses 9 to 16, how God's people clean their way. Verses 17 to 24, the character of God's servants. Verses 25 to 32, personal struggles of God's people. Verses 33 to 40, Christians' total dependence on God. Verses 41 to 48, personal resolutions of the Christian. Verses 49 to 56, remembrance and comfort of God's word. Verses 57 to 64, the Lord our portion. Verses 65 to 72, our afflictions are God's blessings. Verses 73 to 80, a godly character during afflictions. Verses 81 to 88, enduring persecutions. Verses 89 to 96, trusting God's faithfulness to his word. Verses 97 to 104, scriptural meditation and understanding. Verses 105 to 112, shining the light of God's word. Verses 113 to 120, separation and safety from evil. Verses 121 to 128, integrity of God's servants under oppression. Verses 129 to 136, God's righteousness and the Christian. Verses 137 to 144, righteousness, God's righteousness and his zealous servants, verses 145 to 152, crying to the near God, verses 153 to 160, was about assurances for spiritual revival. And then last month or so, when we met, we learned about godly reactions to political persecution in verses 161 to 168. That was our 21st. So this is our 22nd, and I remind you about the words which are given us in this, these 8 verses which pertain to the word of God. One is called commandments, another is called law, precepts, statutes, way, testimonies, judgments, righteousness, and truth. And we agree with the commentators and our forefathers that each word is different. It brings up across a different way of understanding how the word of God is applied to a different circumstance or experience which the Christian goes through. So, prayer items for spiritual revival. And the psalmist begins, Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my cry come before thee. The first prayer item for spiritual revival is understanding. And I'll speak more about that in a short while. But the first part of the verse, as I have indicated before to you in the past, when in the Psalms, any sentence begins with let, it has to be understood prophetically. That is especially the way to understand those verses which seem to me imply that David is calling for curses upon his enemies. They are prophetic in the sense that when it is let this person suffer this and that, it should be read as this person shall suffer this and that, because David spoke as a prophet. Why we believe this is true and how to interpret verses like this is because that is exactly how Judas's life was prophesied. In the Psalms, it was let this and this and this happen to him, but actually when it came into the New Testament, the interpretation was it was prophesied that these things will happen to him. So the first point to be made here is those words, let my cry come near before thee, can be read as my cry shall come near before thee. And we are sure of this as the right interpretation because we know that the psalmist is a Christian. He is already converted, therefore he has a connection with God. He may be downcast, he may be in a state of despair and doubt, yet he is sure that his cry will come near before God. And his proper prayer as he cries is, give me understanding according to thy word. I hope you remember the background I spoke to you about, that in 175 and 176 the picture is that he is in a state of despair. He is downcast, he is exercising unbelief, or he has done that already, and he is doubting some aspect of God's word, mostly because of life's experience. When things do not go on as expected, when God's promises seem to delay, and it appears as if he has traveled or he is gone far away from us, it happens that we can exercise doubts about his faithfulness. But God is ever faithful. The problem is with us. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. The way to understand this when you are offering such a prayer is to understand it as a distress call. A distress call is often pictured in a plane when the pilot announces that he has lost control and the plane is going to crash. And you are facing death in the face, and then people are now trying to call upon any higher authority for salvation, or in a ship when it is sinking right in the middle of a sea. So a distress call is a cry which is very deep and full of passion, right, and desire for help, compared with an ordinary prayer which you can offer, okay, in a different circumstance. And this is because the psalmist has found himself in a state which he doesn't like, doubting, okay, wondering whether the things God has said are true, wondering sometimes when people think the Bible, not every part of it may be accurate, and so on, can lead the Christian to be doubting. So that is how we understand the first part of the verse, let my cry come near before thee. And the word near before God is to be understood as opposed to not before a man or a pastor. For when these words are spoken in our context, sometimes we may think of them as common and normal. But because of what is happening in our land where people are denying the priesthood of the believer, that great doctrine in the Bible, which allows every Christian to pray directly to God, because of such a denial, we have to emphasize why any one of us can ask God and cry unto God to let his cry come near before him. Then also there is the problem of the falsehood of pray for me doctrines and practices in many churches where pastors have made themselves mediators. What Jesus tried to remove, they have tried to bring back, and therefore prayers are offered through them. Sometimes they fast for people and take whatever gifts and monies from them. They have returned, right, into the gap between the Christian and God as the mediator. So I hope we will not fall into this as we are reflecting on words like this. Now, the actual prayer item, the first one is understanding, as I've mentioned. Give me understanding according to thy word. This is what the psalmist says, and he is asking actually for discernment. Understanding in the original Hebrew means to separate, which is to be able to split between what is true and what is false. We call that discernment. Now, why is he asking for understanding? And the answer is what we find given the background, that he wanted to understand why and how he was downcast. When we read Luke chapter 24 about the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, if you read and if you heard very well and you read well, you would see that they were downcast also. Here they were, they had heard about Jesus Christ, they had heard that he was the consolation of Israel, they had heard that he was the Messiah, and yet he had died. And then, not knowing that he had risen, they also heard worse news, that his body had been stolen, and nobody knew where he was. So where is the consolation of Israel? Where is God's promise? They were very downcast. And they couldn't understand why until Jesus came and showed them and revealed unto them that there were better promises in the Psalms concerning him. So there can be a state where any of us can be downcast and we would not understand why. Especially if you see that Christians are murdered. If you have been watching some of the social media videos, Christians are beheaded, they are forced to drown in waters. And sometimes you wonder where God is. And what is happening, that these people who are going to preach the gospel in hostile lands are suffering so much, and it can be very, very distressing to see such things. But remember that the psalmist wasn't only downcast, he was also someone who had been led astray. He says that in verse 176. And all of these, sometimes you can ask, how did that happen to me? Here am I, a Sunday school teacher, sometimes even a preacher of the gospel from the pulpit, and then you find yourself in a state where you are doubting even some of the things you have preached yourself. You can wonder and be amazed. And this is what we have in mind as the psalmist is asking here, give me understanding according to thy word. He wants to know. And once he knows why and how he went into that state, that is a great way to also address the problem of his spiritual downcast so that he can be revived from that despair. So it is no wonder that understanding is presented as the first prayer item when you need revival of your soul, when you have gone far and you want to return back. Understanding, why? Because it's about the mind. And I hope you remember those words in Romans 12 verse 2. We have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. The devil's temptation first goes to the mind, not to the hand, not to the feet. Therefore, it is our duty to always be conscious about the state of the mind, the level of understanding we have. Where else can we get this? We ask God for it, but God himself has directed us to where we can get understanding, which is the Bible. And that is why anyone who has been visiting us in our churches would know how much we emphasize knowledge and understanding. Why we read so many verses Anytime we are reading our Bible verses, why we do verse by verse preaching, why we deal with topics which emphasize on the mind and the conscience and the things about the heart and the soul, is because that is the first point of contact when the devil wants to tempt, before the body follows. Understanding, very, very key. Verse 170. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. And this is the second prayer item, supplication. And the item actually is deliverance. I'll speak about that shortly. But again, read this prophetically. And so you can read it as, my supplication shall come before thee. Because of the assurance that God has given that he hears Christians' prayer. Even Jonah in the womb of the fish, when he had sunk so far in disobedience and rebellion, once he cried from that depth of the sea, God heard him. And that is why we are sure that God hears. So you can read it prophetically, my supplication shall come before thee. And the psalmist here again is particularly referring to deliverance. The first one was about understanding, and that would pertain more to doubting, despairing, and then also unbelief. The deliverance here is about the state of being downcast. You want to split the two. So second prayer item, deliverance. And he says, deliver me according to thy word. From what? From the state of being downcast, as he says in verse 175, let my soul live. I want to live. I want to be revived. So the application is, we do not want to be like the others, such as the charismatics, who talk about a different kind of deliverance and practice a different kind of deliverance. This is not about deliverance from ancestral curses, perceived enemies and demons. That is wrong in itself. Proper deliverance is by the gospel. But when we have been delivered by the gospel first and are converted, there is also need for continual deliverance from such a state. And therefore, we are thinking about deliverance, very much needed, friends, because it pleases the devil that we fall into traps and into sins which disgrace us. And if God doesn't deliver us, we become bad testimonies. In fact, we become such a disgrace to the church. If you remember the words of Nathan, when he went to David after the incident with Bathsheba, he said, God has forgiven you, but you shall bear the sword and the punishment and the discipline. And one of the reasons is because you, David, Nathan said, you have given occasion to the enemies of God to blaspheme his name. So Christians are in a position where we can destroy so much about the work of Christ by our actions when we fall into a state of despair and doubt and unbelief. Therefore, we must continually seek for deliverance. That is so important. Therefore, the psalmist speaks here, deliver me according to thy word. And that phrase, according to thy word, is a reference to God's promises, which we have already spoken about. The first part in 169 says, give me understanding according to thy word. And here he says, deliver me according to thy word. And we have in mind, as I'm speaking, about the second prayer item, deliverance. The first prayer item was understanding. The next verse, 171. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. This is the third prayer item, and the theme is praise. The first was understanding. The next was deliverance. The third is praise. This is what should be done by the Christian in a state of despair, when we have fallen into some sin and have been downcast because of what we observe outside in our environment, that things are falling apart in Christian practices and churches are going apostate. When all those things happen and we are in despair, that is exactly the time we must be praising God. And so the psalmist says, my lips shall utter praise. The original meaning of the word utter means to gush forth like a fountain of water, coming forth like some liquid under pressure in a container. And this is important, a very good figure, because one of the things which we must do in a state of being in despair, is even though we recognize our faults and our sins and we ask for forgiveness from God, still, because we are converted people, and because we even have the opportunity to return and be revived from a state of despair and downcast state, we have a lot to praise God for. I hope you are understanding me. The gospel blessings come as a package. Plenty of them are included, including protection, including God never forsaking us, including light and understanding and wisdom. It's a whole pack of blessings which come when we become converted. So you lose some when you get into despair, or you are downcast, or you are unbelieving. You lose some. Yet there is so much more by which you can use to praise God. And this is what we mean as we learn about the psalmist experience here. Why? At least the Lord had preserved his life, the psalmist. He knows he is still alive. At least he knows that there is opportunity for him to return. So while we get into a state of being downcast, friends, let's remember practically that at that moment you have to really dig deep. Acknowledge your sins, repent of them, cry before God for forgiveness, and yet still remember that there are so many much more blessings you are enjoying. And based on those considerations, pray with praise. And that is why, most importantly, we begin all our prayers with praise. Even when we have sinned, we still come before God, first thanking Him, first praising Him for who He is, His faithfulness, before we go to and forgive us our trespasses, as you know, in the pattern of prayer given by our Lord Jesus Christ. So, the third prayer item for revival, one of the things which can uplift your soul, is whilst all your sins, you can name them one by one and repent of them and confess to God, still remember your manifold blessings and praise God. It is one way by which you can even know that the sins are more serious and you can repent out of them and be restored and be revived. Now, all these, I'm sure you know, these items are interconnected. Understanding, deliverance, praise, items for prayers for spiritual revival. And consider all the blessings we have. Not the ones about creation, that one unbelievers still have. Not even about providence, because still unbelievers have that. We must pray for that and thank God for them, but mostly about our redemption, about all the gospel blessings. The second part of the verse says, when thou hast taught me thy statutes, which is the timing. When thou hast taught me thy statutes. The first was about why must the psalmist praise God, and we say because we are so blessed still, even if we fall into sin. But when thou hast taught me thy statutes is a very important verse to teach us that in that state, the first concern must be about God's righteousness, not about your comfort. Remember this. So some of our divines say holiness before happiness. When you fall into sin, concern yourself first, not so that you can get relief. Concern yourself first so that you can be able to bring God glory. And that is why praising Him is so key. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. When God teaches through his word and you get understanding, at that time, you have to praise God, and the psalmist says he will praise God. Not when he has been revived, that may be later. Not after he has been uplifted from his downcast state, that may be later. But the moment he gets the understanding after being taught, he has to utter praises. So this is a plea for God to help us to remain faithful and honor Him and glorify Him before we think about even relief. Okay, it is important. And that is what happens even in afflictions. You don't curse God. Or your first prayers must not be, God, take me out of this. Your first prayer is, God, in this condition, help me so that I don't curse you. In this condition, even in pain, help me to remain faithful and truthful. Before you can consider any prayers for relief. And this is the pattern which the Bible gives us. The Apostle Paul, when he was in bonds in Philippi, he wrote to the people, any other person would have been saying, pray for me so that I'm released from prison. He says, no, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. All right, and exhorting the people to do that. And this is what we have here in the psalmist's experience. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. When I have had understanding because you, God, has taught me, that time I will praise you. Not when I have been relieved or I have been revived. And this is important for our learning. First consideration is holiness ahead of happiness. And though the psalmist praises God because of his blessings and because he is anticipating that he will arrive in heaven and all those blessings we speak about, yet he has in mind first God's righteousness and how God's honor will be demonstrated in his life. 172. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. And therefore, as you can see, the fourth prayer item for spiritual revival here is affirmation. A few weeks ago, Pastor spoke about that when he was teaching about prayer. Affirmation of faith. What do we mean? That when you pray, one of the things which will uplift your heart and make you praise God is that you are able to tell God back the truths he has given us. So you say, God of glorious majesty, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God who has promised to deliver your people, God who brought Jesus Christ. So those things about sound doctrine which we learn in the Bible, they are matters for our returning them back to God. You affirm them before God. I believe those things, O Lord. That is what we have in mind here. My tongue shall speak of thy word. And the reason is because all God's commandments are righteousness. Commandments include promises, because if you fail in them, there is reward or punishment. But the psalmist speaks about what his tongue shall do. In that state of despair and affliction, he says he will affirm the faith. So, practically, as I said, another prayer item for spiritual revival is affirmation of faith. Repeat some of the faith articles back to God about the Trinity, about heaven, about salvation, about sanctification, about closeness with God, communion with Him. You repeat those things back, and that's very, very important. That will even remind you of how serious your condition is. So, faith in the Word of God, as I said, absolute trust in God's judgments, that they are righteous. All these things, if you repeat them back to God, you are affirming them, including His promises, which you would have heard some of us repeating that when we pray about why and how God should save souls. We plead God's promises. We don't pray that God should save souls because we have preached. We pray that God should save souls because He has already promised that He would save souls. That is helpful. And the psalmist seems to be speaking about such an experience. Therefore, remember this, friends, affirmation of faith has a strong connection with revival, because it is connected with knowledge and understanding. I'm sure you know. You read your Bible, you learn the doctrines, you believe the doctrines, you know they are right, and therefore in your prayers, especially at a time when you have fallen back a bit in your Christian experience, you can repeat those ones back to God. Therefore, as I said, apart from affirmation, having a connection with knowledge and understanding, it is required for enduring afflictions. I'm sure you can understand this, that here am I have doubted God and told a lie, or took a bribe, or I slandered somebody at the workplace in order to gain an advantage with my boss. Anything happens in your life and you have doubted God, you have exercised unbelief, you couldn't trust Him as much, and so you commit a sin. And so, coming back to Him in prayer, you don't come as joyfully as you would have come if you had done things right. This is one of the means by which you can come to God boldly. You affirm the faith. Admitting your sins, of course, but affirming the faith is required, so that in case God keeps you in that condition for a while, where your soul is still downcast and you are still in despair, and he prefers to keep you in that state, what will make you endure that state is the continual affirmation of faith. I believe these things, Lord. I may not be experiencing them now because of my own faults, but I believe that they are true. And all the time you are praying for revival, you affirm the faith. Very, very great ground for regaining hope in times of despair. So that was about 172. And the second part is, for all thy commandments are righteousness. All thy commandments. And this is the reason, because of the word for. All thy commandments are righteousness. And so we affirm the faith because of righteousness of God's commandments. And this is even during the state of being downcast, as I've mentioned. Therefore, one of the things I would like us to learn as an application in this is, all the times we become downcast, things don't go well for us, things appear as if God's promises are failing. Remember, the problem is us, not God. It's always important for us to remember that. Okay, a child, one of your children has died, you've lost your job, there's a great loss which has occurred in your life, and here you are, you've been teaching Sunday school for 5 years or 8 years or 20 years, you come to church, you pray, and these things are happening and it doesn't seem to be going well. Well, the problem is always us, because many times we don't even know we have committed sins against God. And therefore, when the psalmist says, for all thy commandments are righteousness, what he's trying to teach us is that God's truth abides still. While we stumble, while we fall, while we rise, all our struggles in the Christian life are checkered back and forth, up and down. God's faithfulness remains true. His truth abides still. And that is what the psalmist is reflecting upon. My tongue shall speak of thy word. I am at fault. I have sinned, but I will still affirm the faith and the truths about God. And the reason is because all the commandments are righteous. Verse 173, let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I'm speaking about the fifth prayer item here, which is protection. Prayer for protection. Understanding, deliverance, praise, affirmation, and the fifth, protection. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I speak about protection because the original meaning of the word help is surround. It is a picture of how God's arms are open to enclose, right, the Christian. That is the picture in the Hebrew. Therefore, it's about surrounding and it's about protection. So you can read the words as prophetically, of course, as I said, your open arms will surround me. That's how you can read the first part of the verse. And the reason is, for I have chosen thy precepts. So, why does the psalmist need God's protection at a time when he is downcast? One of the reasons is so that he doesn't further become downcast, and so that he is not taken over by more snares of Satan. All of us know, once you are weakened as a Christian because of your despair or your downcast state or your unbelief, once you are weakened, you are like an animal which has been shot in the foot, limping perhaps. And that is a state by which you become easy prey for a lion. If you've been watching the geographic channels where the animals are shown, one of the things which is very sad for any animal is anytime that animal is bitten by another one, though it is not dead, but because it cannot run as fast, it becomes easy prey to the lions and the leopards. When a Christian backslides or falls into this state, you become wounded. That is exactly the time you need protection. And this is the picture the psalmist is giving us here. Let thine hand help me. Hold me, surround me, keep me. Even if I will be revived later, in the meantime, Lord, be with me so that I don't fall further into sin. All of us know, if you are a Christian, that if you don't pray such a prayer and you fall into one sin, you will go into the next and the third, like David did. Very seriously. She saw the woman, she lusted She told a lie, she plotted evil, he ended up killing, giving strong drink to the man, killing. The sin was moving one to the next. That is what happened. So when you get to a point and you pray such a prayer, you are asking God, please let it stay. Let my decline stay. Okay, what I have done is wrong enough and I don't want to go further. This is what we have in mind here. And the psalmist's reason is because he says, "For I have chosen thy precepts." The word chosen in the original Hebrew is try. I have tried your precepts, which means I chose and I have tried. Okay, I have experienced the precepts, and I hope you can use that to connect. God, I want you to surround me and protect me from further decline in my Christian walk. And the reason is because I have tasted, I have chosen your paths before and know that you are right and those paths are sweet. I want to be brought back to that state. I have tasted that before. That is what we have in mind. For I have chosen thy precepts. God's precepts, we call them appointments. Appointments as in what he has promised to do and will do and has done, which include never forsaking the Christian, strengthening, sanctifying, renewing. All of these are blessings for the Christian. So when the Christian says, "I have chosen thy precepts," what he means is, "I have tried them, I have tasted them," and that is good. Remember how God has dealt with you in the past when you are downcast and you are praying for revival. Reflect back, and think about how God has blessed you so much in the past, how he has strengthened you, the victories you have won in the Christian journey. Pull back all of them, recollect all of them, bring them back and say, "I have tasted all of this before, and based on that, Lord, I want to be protected from further decline. I have chosen thy precepts, I have tasted them before." Verse 174, "I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight." Before I go to that, let me just make a small application concerning verse 173. "Let thine hand help me." We say here the matter is about protection. And we have had 5 prayer items so far. And so the application is, we need multiple armory required for the spiritual warfare. The different prayer items speak about the fact that our prayers must hit on particular things, especially prayers for revival. And this is in consonance with what Pastor says, and we agree, why sometimes your prayers may be long. If you take praise and you pray some minutes, if you take deliverance and you pray about it some minutes, pray for understanding some minutes, pray for protection some minutes, affirmation of faith some minutes, all of these mean your prayers may be long, even if it's not a prayer for revival. So let's come now to verse 174. "I have longed for thy salvation." So if you want a breakdown of, or a summary of what I've done so far, 169 to 172 are about what the psalmist says. Okay, now he is speaking about what he has done before, 173 and 174. He says, "I have chosen thy precepts in the past. I have longed for thy salvation also in the past." What does he mean by this as a prayer item? It is confession. You confess what you've done. So this is the 6th prayer item for revival. Confess to God what you have done. The word salvation is not to be saved from sin. I hope you remember that. Here, the original meaning is prosperity or success or victory. I have longed for victory. This is the psalmist's desire. Sorry, what he has done before. And he says, "O Lord, and thy law is my delight." So, this is a confession, as I said, of the deliverance he has been longing for in the past. I have longed. He has not been saved yet. That is why he is praying for the revival and victory to overcome that state. But what he is telling God is, "I have longed God, you know my heart. That 5 days ago, 2 weeks, since for about 2 weeks or a month now, I have been praying that you revive my soul. Alright? And this is what the psalmist speaks about, confession of what he has done. So he confesses of the deliverance he is longing for in the present downcast condition, but also he is confessing his patience and forbearance. Remember that he is not in a comfortable state. He has come to realize his doubts, his failings, his sins. He's been in a downcast state because of misunderstanding, because of all kinds of reasons. So he says to God, Lord, I am confessing that I need deliverance. I have done that before. I have made that confession before. And this is a way by which you can exercise patience and forbearance. The application is endurance and absolute trust in God's promises. We need that. Remember that these are practical things. One day you will have to recollect and remember them. Here am I. Have I confessed anything to God? I have confessed my sins, yes. But have you confessed your longing for deliverance and victory and prosperity? That must be done, because the psalmist is doing so. The second part of the verse says, and thy law is my delight. Thy law is my delight. Now, it is not pleasant to be in a state of being downcast. Not at all. All manner of reasons apply to what it means to be downcast. I've mentioned some of them. Loss of a job, seeing that Christians are persecuted and there seems to be no help for them. When laws are made in a country so that Christians are going to suffer and we are not able to do as we ought. And your own life, seeing that you are not active as you used to be. You are not as fervent as you used to be, and you are not as hot as you used to be. You have become lukewarm in your Christian service. You are not able to sacrifice as you ought. You have become a little worldly. When all these things happen, it is not pleasant, especially when you know what Jesus has done for you as a Christian. So, where else can you get delight? In your condition, you can't, because you are downcast. And therefore, when the psalmist speaks here, thy law is my delight, he is now trying to look for pleasure from another source. And the best source, of course, which is the law of God. I have longed for thy salvation. Lord, I want to be saved. You know I have been longing for 1 week or 1 month and so on. And in this longing, alongside it, all my delight, whilst I'm waiting for the revival, whilst I'm waiting for the salvation, it is your law which has always been my delight. And this is the reason why Jonah was able to pray from the depths of the fish, from the bottom of the sea. He knew there was a God that he could pray to. And that God has a law. His law is perfect, and one of them is, he is a prayer-hearing God. Pray, cry unto me, and I'll hear you. It's a law. Cry is a law. The promise which comes with it is, I will hear you, and I'll answer. And that is the only delight of the Christian. I'm sure you can understand this. Unbelievers, when they are downcast, like they are not even believers, but in case wrong things, unfortunate things happen to them, they lose children or loved ones or relations, they take to alcohol. When a man and a woman, they have a problem in the family, the man looks for a girlfriend to try to get pleasure. That is not us. For us, when we become sad, where we go to look for happiness and joy is in the law of God, which you can understand as the whole Bible, because in some ways the whole Bible is God's law. They are called testaments. So understand this, friends. 174, I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. 175, let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. So this is, as I said from the beginning, this is the key to understanding all the prayer items. So this is not a different prayer item like a seventh one. This is the overall. Let my soul live. You should read it as, my soul shall live. Because my prayers are as good as answered. The prophetic aspect I spoke about earlier. Let my soul be revived. This is the general. And it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. So, he speaks of living. Because there is a way by which the Christian soul can die. Now, this is not losing your salvation. I'm sure we all know that. But what it means is your soul can be so inactive and so lukewarm and so dry that it is as good as dead. Romans chapter 8 has a verse in it which speaks like that, right? So there can be deadness of the soul, but it's not loss of salvation at all. And this is what the psalmist is speaking of himself. His soul has died. He's downcast. He sometimes thinks as if the whole Bible is not true, or there is no heaven, and all the things the Christians are saying, even though he has spoken about them to people, still he comes to a point where he's doubtful. It happens to every Christian. You ask God, God, let my soul live. Revive me so that I shall be able to praise thee. And that is what he's speaking about here. So the overall prayer for revival, the one part of it is living whilst I remain here in this earth. And the other part of it is, let my soul live so that I shall praise thee in heaven. All both are applicable. In this life, if my soul lives, I will have more matter to praise you, God. But if my soul lives beyond this life, then my praise will even be greater. And this is what he has in mind. So this practically means prayers for revival. If any of us is in that state of prayer, it can be as frequent as daily or multiple times a day when you are really, really downcast. And I hope you will recollect some of the examples of being downcast. Okay. Or maybe at particular periods of spiritual lowliness. Those are all practicals about when prayers for revival may be uttered. And we can extend this such a prayer for revival beyond the individual to the church, to God's word, to Christian service, to missionary work. Because at all times, whether individuals or churches, there are ups and downs. Churches lose members. Sometimes the preaching don't go on as much as it should. Discipline can go down. Okay, members can become lukewarm. So the church itself will suffer. Or sometimes not many people are going out on missionary work as they ought, and therefore the universal church is also going down. Plenty things happen individually and also to the church, and therefore spiritual revival prayers for them are very important. It is not by accident that the psalmist is speaking about this for our learning this evening. The second part of the verse says, and let thy judgments help me. And that is to teach us about the seventh prayer item, God's judgments. You plead with God in a prayer of revival that he should judge. Judge me, O God. If you read your Psalms well, you will see David writing plenty times. Judge me, O God. Why? Because at times we forget and we lose sight of our sins. We tend to think we are doing okay. I teach Sunday school, I preach sometimes, I'm faithful in church, and therefore I begin to think that everything I do is right. We forget that sometimes we are wrong, we sin. And so when you pray for God to judge you, what you are saying is, God, declare unto me my rights and my wrongs. Show me so that I know clearly that these and these things I did are wrong and these are right. Therefore, and for that reason, my confessions can be genuine. My repentance can be particular and pointing to those very sins I've committed. That is what we have in mind here. Let thy judgments help me. Help me is another word we've met again. It is about, not this time, it is not about protection. Here it is about as we found, let thy hand help me. Here it is about, let thy judgments help me, to teach me. That is actually what we have in mind. Let me be able to discern right and wrong. And as I said, we all know as Christians that sometimes you can be doing something thinking it is right because you have so much light. God has blessed you with so much light, but then you forget that actually with that light you've gone astray, you have become presumptuous, you have taken upon yourself something you are not supposed to, and become actually unlawful because you have now become like God, trying to dictate to people what they should do when you haven't been given that authority, or you are doing things which are wrong. So if you ask God to let his judgments help you, is a good prayer item for revival, because when you know that you have been judged by God, then you can also pray for relief and for revival. The last verse, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. When we sang hymn number 23, version 4, which was about Psalm 23, the picture is given of the Christian like a lost sheep, and very fitting. I have just spoken about how sometimes we behave foolishly, even when we are considered as the sheep of God. And God is wise to give us that description that when we become Christians, we have become sheep. What are sheep? They are very weak. The sheep can never pounce on any prey to feed on it. So it is very weak. It is very foolish. It quickly goes astray out from the flock. And the psalmist gives us such a great picture. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. The psalmist calls himself a sheep. He knows that as a sheep, he is very weak. He is very vulnerable. He cannot fight any other animal. And the moment it goes outside of the flock, it can be fed upon by a lion. If all this is in mind, then the moment you get into a state of being downcast or despair or doubting, as the psalmist has, by which he prays for revival, know that he is giving us instruction here, that we have to pray likewise. Pray that God would search our hearts. That is the eighth prayer item, which is searching. God, search me, know me, let me know that I am a sheep and I am vulnerable, I am weak. Because it is easy for Christians to become very proud and think, you can't do this to me, this cannot happen to me, and become very presumptuous. We hear some of this from our charismatic friends. But true Christianity always remembers that I have so much light, God has given me so many promises about protection, yet I am still foolish. I have foolish ways in my body, I can go astray. So we can reflect on Psalm 23, those verses where the psalmist speaks about refreshment. He maketh me lie down in green pastures, he restores my soul. All those are about revival. And the feeding which God gives refreshes. Refreshment, revival, restoration are all connected as he prays, I have gone astray like a lost sheep, admitting his sins and says, seek thy servant. And the word seek is about a deep search, searching out, which means to strive after, which is, as I'm closing, tell God when you are praying for revival that God, it may be that I have gone astray, therefore always search after me, always go after me and bring me back in so that I shall be safe. I hope this is helpful to us as we have come to the conclusion of Psalm 176. Prayers for revival, spiritual revival, and the items are helpful. The first one is understanding. The second one is deliverance. The third one is praise. The fourth one is affirmation. The fifth one is protection. The sixth is confession. The seventh is judgment. The eighth is searching. May God bless us all for his own name's sake. Amen.
Amen.